the president is determined to unleash economic growth for businesses. I would also just comment that we will hold listening sessions. One thing this president has done very well is listen.
The president releases his tax plan. It's one sheet, a whole lot of detail.
Easy to get through. That's true. The benefit.
That was true. As I was doing research this morning, I said to the when our producer got it, he said, "I've got it for you." And I go, "Well, I don't have time to read it because I'm driving." He goes, "Oh, you can do it at a stoplight. Don't worry about it."
I said the same thing. I'm like, "Oh, I don't know if I can read the whole thing." He's like, "No, you can." Very quickly, in fact.
So I got home. I didn't read it at a stoplight because I'm obeying traffic regulations.
Yes, you are.
And Stephen Moore is joining us. He's one of my favorites, actually. Stephen Moore, of course, is that you see him all over the place on the cable news. He's a distinguished visiting fellow, Project for Economic Growth, Institute for Economic Freedom and Opportunity at the Heritage Foundation. And you guys at Heritage were pretty instrumental, right, in shaping a lot of the economic policy for this administration. Is that fair to say, Stephen?
Well, my buddy and I, Larry Kudlow, and I worked with Trump during the campaign. We're the senior economic advisors, so that was a thrill, and it was something that it's interesting because this tax plan that was introduced today was very much, it's very similar to the one he campaigned on that we helped craft for him, which is, you know, reducing business tax rates so we become more competitive in the world, simplifying the system. I think you guys are going to love this, the idea of getting the standard tax form down to a postcard. People love that idea. Why does the tax system have to be so damn complicated? So this is a big deal. It was a big day for Trump, and I love it. I'm very happy.
All right, so let's talk about the simplification thing here, because essentially what you do on the private, on the personal side of taxes is that the concept here is that there would only be two deductions really available to people, which would be either charitable or home interest deductions. And I'd imagine that's going to cap at some point, too, because it is already. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, look, why do you want to let a billionaire write off a $10 million home? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. The whole idea of the home mortgage deduction is to help home ownership, not to allow some billionaire to buy a McMansion.
So now what about like for legal services and things like that? I mean, if you cut off the ability to deduct legal services or professional services, don't you think that's going to, can't you imagine that the attorneys who write these laws, Stephen, I think you're familiar with this, are not going to be too happy about that.
No, they're going to hate this.
Well, you're right. The people, there's one group of people that's big losers on this. Well, there's probably three groups of people: accountants, tax lawyers, and psychiatrists, because they, this tax system is so damn complicated. And I still have dark circles under my eyes from staying up four or five straight nights, kind of just figure out how much I owe, let alone how much I had to pay. Look, this is going to be big for, but I think the biggest benefit of this plan is what it does for businesses. 27 million small businesses in this country are going to get a tax cut. And I happen to believe that's going to mean that businesses are going to have more money for investing in their businesses, hiring more workers. So it's interesting. 70% of the benefit of cutting business taxes goes to workers because now you have more jobs, you have higher salaries, and that's what we've been waiting for a long time.
Talk about the supply side economics part of it all. I think a lot of people are saying, but hey, doesn't that also mean that you have less money for social services and that the deficit becomes larger? It's all reliant upon the growth of the economy. Is that right?
Well, it is. I mean, in fact, I would refer people to the Wall Street Journal today. I had a lead editorial, op-ed piece, basically making this point that until we get faster economic growth, because, the economy has been growing at less than 2% now for 7 years. I mean, that's pathetic. The long-term economic growth rate has been, 3.5%, almost twice that fast. So we have to grow faster to solve any of these problems, whether it's, poverty, whether it's our deficit, our debt, whether it's income inequality. Quality, rebuilding our infrastructure, you need a bigger economy and a faster growing economy. And, you can call that supply side economics or whatever, but it's true that every time we've had major tax cuts, it's really stimulated growth in the economy. It happened in the 60s under Kennedy. It happened in the 80s under Reagan. Even under Clinton, when we balanced the budget, people forget that it was this reduction in the capital gains tax that caused a surge in revenues from the you know, higher stock market and better performing economy. So that's a big part of it.
Aren't you concerned about deficits, though? I mean, I know that you've, as again, I'm a huge fan. I've got your poster. I've got the whole thing in my bedroom.
In your bedroom?
This time I'm in your office.
Yeah, I know. I always refer to Stephen as the happy warrior because he's
good natured.
He's so. I mean, I think
it's kind of a little weird that you know. See, I have like a Cheryl Teague's, you know, poster in my
right.
Office.
He's got you.
No,
okay?
I got you.
Stay away from him when you're in the building.
I just like economists. Anyway, the point of this, Stephen, is this: I know that over the years you've been thinking about these things. I've heard you talk about deficits and the crushing debt structure that the United States can find itself under. You're seeing it in state governments right now. I mean, you know, Illinois, pretty good example of it, right?
Darn good example.
You're seeing Greece. So what do you do?
I think you know. Yeah, first of all, I think you guys know, I'm from Chicago, and what's happened in that state is a sad, sad commentary, and you know, it's because, you know, by the way, it's a good example of what I'm talking about. In Illinois, a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, you had the biggest tax increase on rich people in the history of the state, a massive tax increase, and the debt got worse. So you don't solve these problems by raising taxes. You solve these problems by getting your spending down under control and having a more rational tax system. And that's going to happen. And when you look, it's not that complicated. When you put more people to work, guess what? They start paying taxes. They don't actually collect welfare. They're actually paying into the system. That's what we're hoping for, and I think it's going to work this time.
Talk about the immediate impact on middle-class families, because I think one of the concerns here is that there's going to be an unequal distribution of the benefits and who's really getting the savings here in the immediate or near-term future. What will a middle-class family see?
Yeah. It's a great question. The reason I was a little late for your show today, I've been on CNN three times today, and every time they ask me that question.
I've watched you answer that question each one of those times.
I've watched you answer it, but I still think that's the thing that's coming up, and you've seen Bernie Sanders and everybody else, all the Democrats saying that's exactly what you're doing here, supporting billionaires and millionaires. That's the knock.
And that simply isn't true. We're helping businesses. So, there are 26 million small businesses in this country. They're not all rich. You know, not every businessman and woman is rich and evil. I mean, we want to help people start businesses and expand their businesses so they, you know, there's an old saying, liberals love jobs, but they hate employers. You can't have a job without an employer, right,
That's
unless
true.
You're working for the government. And so we want to help employers. And we also, by the way, the tax cut for individuals, what we did in this plan, the average middle-class person, you know, if you're earning between $40,000 and $80,000 a year, and you're going to save about a couple thousand dollars a year on your taxes under this plan. So that's a big benefit for the middle class. Now, for rich people, they're going to go to a lower tax rate, but as you guys were just talking about, they're going to lose all their write-offs. They're going to lose all their deductions. There's nowhere for them to hide their, you know, income and investing in bull spur and windmills and NASCAR racetracks and stuff. That's all gone. You're going to pay your fair share if you're rich out there.
Well, doesn't that have its own drag here? I don't want to get too wonky with you. But doesn't that have its own drag as well? I mean, if all of a sudden those investments no longer are deductible, people will be less likely to make them, or the bets are going to be much safer bets.
No. So you're misunderstanding me a little bit, because this is a good question. And of course, if you invest, we want people to invest. That's the whole point of this tax cut, so that businesses invest more in their business and hire more workers and build more factories.
Right. I understand that from the business perspective, but from the investor perspective, people who are
an investor. Well, I'll tell you what we're doing for investors. If you're an investor out there, we're reducing your capital gains tax. We're reducing your dividend tax because we're getting rid of the Obamacare surtax. So if we're going to go from 24 to 20. And one of the most important things for investment and savings is we're eliminating the most evil tax out there, which is the death tax, which is an evil double tax. Let me get this straight. You spend your whole life paying taxes, and then you have to pay a massive tax when you die? I mean, that's un-American.
Well, you know, it's interesting because on the other side of this coin, Warren Buffett has always made the argument that the United States shouldn't be like Europe, where you have generational wealth moving and moving and moving and accumulating, and then you get these, you know, these super rich and powerful families and things like that. It's always been the argument against that. So the death tax was a way to do that.
Warren Buffett, let me just say at this point, Warren Buffett's never going to pay any inheritance tax. He's put all of his money, he's sheltered all his money into the Gates Foundation, billions and billions of dollars that's never going to be taxed. It's so interesting. The really, really rich families like the Rockefellers and the Kennedys and the Buffetts, they don't end up paying this tax. It's people who spend a lifetime, like my father, building up a business. And look, what he does with his money when he dies should be his own business. I don't want a penny of his money when he dies.
Don't say that. He's listening right now.
It should be up to him, not the government, what he does with his money. When he paid his taxes every single year that he built up his business. Now he has another tax imposed on him.
All right. So now in terms of your point is this, your point is that it's really the corporate tax structure that's going to
and
be
the
better
small business.
And small business. That's going to be that's the real secret sauce in this particular presentation that we've seen today.
In my opinion, yes.
Because
the biggest problem with our tax system, because we have the highest business tax rates in the world. And that's killing us. So we're losing businesses to Canada, to Ireland, to Germany, to France, to China, to Mexico. One of the reasons these factories are leaving the United States and going to these other countries is because they tax their businesses half the rate that we do. I mean, what's wrong with that picture?
I'm going to ask you to do something predictive here, though. So sorry, but I got to do it anyway. Would you, if you had to guess, where would you think these breaks would be in these three tax brackets? Because you've got 10, 15, and... 15, 25, and 35. Where would the breaks be?
So for 35, that's about $500,000 of income for a couple. For the 25% rate, I'm trying to remember, it's about $125,000. And then I forget the lower rate. But look, most people may make under $40,000 a year aren't going to pay any income tax under this plan because we're increasing the standard deduction.
And will that be a graduated situation like they currently have, where that first dollar amount gets taxed at the initial rate and then it goes up once you get past those?
Of course,
rates?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Yes. And by the way, I hate a graduated tax. I'm a flat tax guy. I think we should have one tax rate that everybody pays with no deductions, no loopholes. So that would be my Garden of Eden tax system. But if we can't get to a flat tax like Steve Forbes talked about, this is getting us towards that, where we're flattening out the rates, but getting rid of loopholes. Look, it's very simple. If you live next to me and we have the same income, we should pay the same tax, right? If you live next to me and you have 10 times more income than I do, you should pay 10 times more tax, not 20 times, not 30 times more tax.
Well, we will see how this gets mangled in Congress.
Yeah,
because
good luck with the sell part of it. I mean, we're
right.
Sold, but that's not we're easy.
I mentioned this earlier, Steve. My accountant called me this morning. He's like,
said,
"Wow,
you're in luck.
Oh my God, is this good for you?" I just don't know if it's saleable or if it's good for the. And here's my problem. I am concerned. I'm still concerned because I'm from Illinois. I'm concerned about the debt and the deficit, and I know that there are going to be some hawks up on Capitol Hill that are going to be equally concerned about it.
Sure.
I got to tell you one thing quick on the way out.
Yeah.
I travel all over this great country. I go to Tennessee, Texas, Florida, Arizona. Everywhere I go now, I see Illinois license plates. But the reason Illinois can't balance its budget is because rich people who you keep trying to tax are leaving Illinois and they're going somewhere else. You can go to Texas and pay no income tax at all. And that's why Texas grew faster than every other state combined
over
the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I understand.
They have nicer weather there, too, I think.
Yes, it does definitely
bonus.
Helps. Stephen Moore, thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. There he goes.
He's off to another CNN appearance.
He's
been on all day today. I've seen him.
Yes, initial architects of this. So I think the reason I was asking that question about the individual versus the corporate, the mm-hmm. business tax, because business, I understand that whole part. And businesses will benefit greatly. Now the question is, will they actually reinvest and do all those things that are the next step of the? And that's it's a leap of faith. And the architects of this that businesses, will employ more people. As you're finding, especially in tech businesses, they employ fewer people,
mm-hmm.
right? You have these tech businesses that are worth billions of dollars, and they got 10 employees. Right.
And a lot of employees are overseas, et cetera.
Yeah. So I mean, those are separate issues. But to the individual, I don't think the individuals are going to find, especially in the middle class, upper middle class, you know, whatever that breaks out to, that, you know, that 100,000, you know, household income of 100,000 below or above, people who are within $20,000 or $40,000 of those numbers, mm-hmm, of 100,000, I don't think are going to see a lot of benefit. As a matter of fact, they may actually see it going the other way for them, because especially at the higher end of that, they're going to have more deductions, or they're going to be able to write down more of their house. They won't be able to do that as well as they once were able to do.
Well, the mortgage stays in. You can still deduct that.
Yes, but up to a point.
And charity.
It still is up to a point. You can only deduct your mortgage up to a certain price, mm-hmm, you know, up to a certain dollar amount. And that could have they may lower that to try to get more of that money, because they need the money from the massive amount of smaller dollar amounts, mm-hmm, of smaller dollar income amounts. That's where that's the bulk. That's the water that floats these boats.
And they put it all in one page.
That was easy, wasn't it? VLS, we can all read it in a couple of minutes.
Convenient. What about millennials? Can we just pay less on everything? Or how does this factor into it?
Ma, what are taxes?
Do I have to pay those?
Why did you talk about those?
Are those optional?
What are they?
Why does Ro have a poster of a middle-aged man in his robe?
Yeah, that was a weird moment. He was really good-natured about taking that.
It's a happy warrior.